Tonight, as we turn to God's Word, we're going to return to this theme that we have been focusing on in the last few weeks, the theme of evangelism. We began with that great promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, I will make you fishers of men. And then we considered that demand that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Following that, we looked at three qualifications for those who should be involved in the work of evangelism. We are to be sinners. We are to have a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to have a living relationship with Him. Not something that has come from books. Not something that we have learnt from other people. But rather, a day-by-day experience with Him. Many people might be asking the question, okay, it's all well and good having considered these things, but how do you do it? How do you evangelize? And in a way, I could conclude the series here and now by referring you to our second reading, from what Chris read in 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, and he said this, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Peter has been there talking about the virtues, the Christian characteristics that should be being added to our lives day by day. If your life, if my life is authentic, it will be the clearest gospel message possible. You've often heard, I'm sure, the testimony of someone who has been an out-and-out blackguard, a criminal, someone who has lived against the purposes of God, and then like the Apostle Paul, they are suddenly arrested by God, and those who have opposed the gospel suddenly become those who preach the gospel and who pray the gospel. So that is the essence, really, of how do you evangelize? You live it. But I'm not going to leave it there tonight. I'm going to take us to our first reading, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 12, and I'm going to focus on verse 32. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. In a way, we are back where we were on Wednesday evening. For those of you who were there in the members' meeting, in the prayer meeting, and we are again reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ will build His church. "I will build my church," Jesus says, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But it's the first thing that I want us to see in this passage tonight is that evangelism is a team performance. You cannot play rugby as one man. You have got to be a part of the team. You have to take your responsibility. Where perhaps somebody fails in their responsibility, then you pick up the ball and you carry it forward. But essentially, we each have to know our roles. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying, in effect, when you lift me up, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, or all people, to myself. And Jesus is saying that He will do His work. He knows what His responsibility is. If you use the authorized version of this passage, you will read, "And I, if I am lifted from the earth." And there is that qualification. There is that emphasis that it has to happen. What the ESV is saying is that Jesus will only do his work when we do ours. He will draw people to himself, but we are to take our responsibility. Turn back with me a few pages to John chapter 6, and you will see there the cooperation within the Godhead, because many of us believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we focus our worship upon him. But Jesus is at pains to show that he doesn't work on his own. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we are told this: "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Then when we go down to verse 44, we see that the focus is not simply on Jesus. There in verse 38, he is saying, God has sent me. God the Father has sent me. I am going to do his will. But in verse 44, he says, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Do you see that there Jesus is saying, yes, the Son of Man has to be lifted up, but it is the Father who does the drawing. Jesus is saying, this isn't a one-man band. I'm not doing this on my own. I am doing this in cooperation with the Father. But it's not only with the Father. Go back a couple of chapters to John chapter 3, and here we are faced directly with the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We are all born naturally. We are all born of water. But to be born spiritually is a work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying in our text, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. But I am not doing this on my own." Jonah, the runaway prophet, the prodigal prophet, the prophet who did not want to do God's will, actually said this glorious statement: "Salvation belongs to the Lord." And tonight, friends, if we are going to be effective in evangelism, we have to accept that it is all of him. He is to be the one who is the focus, the beginning, the end, the source of power, the source of authority. And he alone is the one who will draw people to himself. Sadly, in evangelicalism, I'm not talking about broader Christianity. I'm talking about that focus of Christianity that we claim to hold to. Within evangelicalism, great damage has been done when churches, when individuals think that they can do God's work. Friends, no one will believe until the Holy Spirit gives them life. No one will come to the Lord Jesus Christ until the Father draws them. No one will come to Christ until we lift him up, until we show that he is preeminent in our lives. We cannot do God's work on our own. We will only cause great offense to the name of our glorious God. So it's a team performance. But secondly, I've already alluded to this, I want us to see our God-given responsibility. What is it that we have to do in this verse? When I am lifted up from the earth. And there, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, yes, I will draw people, but there are other people involved in this. And I have to be lifted up by other people. It's not something that I do. It is something that is done to me. And it's the passive voice. And when a verb is passive, it is something that is done to us. And the answer is given to what is going on in this verse, in verse 33. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So when Jesus talks about being lifted up from the earth, he is saying, in order for anyone to be saved, I have to be crucified. I have to be lifted up. I have to be nailed to the cross. I have to be rejected by earth. And in fact, rejected by heaven, that cloud of darkness, separated God the Father from God the Son. He was lifted up. Matthew tells us in no less than 3 separate statements in the last 18 months of his life, Jesus said to his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. I will be arrested. I will be beaten. I will be crucified. I will die. I will be buried. But I will rise again. And that is the essential meaning of what Jesus is saying here. I will not save anyone until I am lifted up on that cross. But there is an implied meaning here. There is an understood meaning here. And the understood meaning is that all evangelism must exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be given the place of honor. He must be lifted up. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. The psalmist says, no, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the glory. And you can read through the New Testament and you can see those places where Jesus is lifted up. We think of Acts chapter 2 as that great chapter on the outpouring of the Spirit. But let me read to you. Don't worry about turning to it. Let me read to you what Jesus preached on that occasion. This is Acts 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Yes, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Yes, the denying Peter was filled and empowered. But when he preached that day, he didn't draw attention to himself. Attention had already been given to the disciples. They were accused of being drunk. And Peter said, it's not about us. It's about him. It is about Jesus, the man that you crucified. When Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven, the disciples were still wanting the kingdom to be established. Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has placed in his hands, but you will be my witnesses, and we are to be those who witness to the glory, the power, and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, to make disciples, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Don't go with your ideas, but go with the authority of Scripture. Jesus in John 3 says this, and Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with that story, that the people of Israel had become impatient with Moses. They'd become impatient with God. They wanted things to happen. But God sent judgment upon them. He sent serpents into the camp, and when they were bitten, they died almost instantly. But Moses was told, there is a remedy. You are to make a serpent of bronze. You are to lift it up. You are to hang it on a pole. And whenever somebody is bitten, they are to look. They are to look at the serpent, and they will be healed. The hymn writer says, look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. And that is the picture that is coming out here. Christ has promised that as we declare the Lord Jesus Christ in our preaching, in our lives, not simply as a teacher or as a miracle worker, but as the Redeemer, as the substitute, as the salvation, then people will be drawn to Him. We are to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to crucify Him afresh. Some people would come to this table tonight and they would, as it were, offer the bread, saying, Lord, we offer again to you the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is horrible. He died once for all. We come to the communion table to remember. We tell people that the blood has been shed. The cross stained with blood so divine. We are to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in our witnessing. I've purposely chosen the hymns that we have sung tonight to focus on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being lifted up. So it's a team performance. We have our responsibility, and that is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in the 21st century. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend His cause. Is that your testimony? I want us to move on now and to look at gospel power. And here we have this glorious promise. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people, will draw all people to myself. Think of a magnet, and I think the picture of a magnet is absolutely terrific. I'm not a physicist, so I can't explain why this happens, but I'm sure most of you know that if you take hold of two magnets and you try to put the same pole together, then they will repel. But if you turn the magnet around and you put the opposite poles, the north and south, together, they will attract. And friends, that is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous. And in reality, we should be repelled from Him. But when He is lifted up, He will draw us as sinners, as rebels, as those who have lived without Him. He will draw us to Himself. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled, they ran away from God. They hid. And perhaps you do that. Well, and I won't say perhaps. We all do it. those times when we fail, when we know that we've said, we've done, we've thought something that we should not have done, do we find it easy to come to church? Do we find it easy to pray? No, we want to run away. We want to hide. But friends, I want to tell you that 2,000 years ago, the eternal Son of God came into this world as a baby, as a human being. He came to draw. He came to draw all people to himself. He says in Luke 19 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now Isaiah, in that glorious chapter, Isaiah 53, where he talks about the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions, actually says this, that he has no beauty that we should desire him. And the natural man, the natural woman in sin, has no desire to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ because they are offended by one who is so holy, who is so perfect, by one who is able to deal with the sins and the shortcomings of their own lives. Jesus is different. But we're told by Matthew that the great throng, or as it says in the Authorized Version, the common people heard him gladly. Now, friends, what does this passage say? Does it say, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all the religious people? Does it say, I will draw the rich, the famous? Does it say, I will draw only the people of Israel? No, it says, I will draw all people. And I want you to read this in its context tonight, because I began the reading in verse 20. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida. And Bethsaida is in Galilee. Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles. It was a place that devout Jews avoided. But these Greeks came to Andrew from Galilee of the Gentiles. And Andrew and Philip went to Jesus because these men had said, Sirs, we wish to see Jesus. So Jesus is making this clear. Non-Jews, people born outside of the nation of Israel, they were probably converts to Judaism, what we would call proselytes. They had come up to worship at the time of the Passover. But in the temple in those days, there was the outer court. There was the court of the Gentiles, and there was the court of Israel. And then there was the holy place. And the Gentiles, they could come so far, but if they tried to cross that barrier, that mark, they would be held back. And yet, Jesus is saying, I will draw all people. And Jesus, when he had cleansed the temple at the beginning of this week, he had driven out the money changers and those who would sell animals in the court of the house of God. And he had said, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. But Jesus is saying here, when I am lifted up, there will be no demarcation. They can come from every language, tribe, and nation. And remember what I said before I started the reading tonight, friends, that these are the last words that Jesus spoke in public. from John 13 through to John 17, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And the last thing that Jesus wants ringing in the ears of his people is, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what sin you find yourself in. When I have been lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. Friends, tonight, this is gospel power. Sin will separate us from God. We are told quite clearly, I was looking at it this morning, that sin will keep us out of heaven. But Jesus says, when you lift me up, when you tell people that I have died on the cross for sinners, I will draw people of all nations. Do you feel that you're unworthy tonight? Do you feel that you can only come so far? There are people who would call themselves Christians tonight, and they would say that I cannot come to Jesus for myself. I need the mediation of the saints. I need the mediation of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. I need somebody else to pray for me. But no, Jesus says, I will draw you. Come as you are. And my final point tonight is the gospel person. It's a team performance. We have our responsibility. There is gospel power to draw, but to whom are we drawn? To myself, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the eternal Son of God. Wow! We can come. He will receive us. We sang it this morning, didn't we? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Tell this word of grace to all. Friends, we are living in a nation that is going to the dogs because we are trying to rewrite the rule book. We are trying to say evil is good and good is evil. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. That is thrilling. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to another religious person. You can go to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner. To whom? To Jesus. Yesi, rutin diga. Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient beyond telling is thy worth. No one else needed. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. When I am lifted up on that cross, I will become the means of salvation. Like that serpent in the wilderness, if you look, you will live. Friends, tonight, we don't have a cross in our church because the focus is not the cross. The focus is the one who hung on the cross. We don't have a crucifix in our church because he is no longer on the cross. But we gather tonight pleading for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he might show to us the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be taken up with him. The Apostle Thomas, when he had missed the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, he had said, I will not believe unless I can thrust my finger into the nail prints in his hand or thrust my hand into the wound in his side. When he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my Lord and my God. Friends, tonight, the Lamb of God who was nailed to the cross today is seated on the throne. Let me take you into heaven. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. I will draw all men to myself. Where is he tonight, friends? He's not on the cross. He's not in the cradle. He's not wandering blindly around this world. He is seated on the throne in heaven, seated as a lamb who has been slain, reminding us that his grace remains sufficient. And after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Friends, that tonight is the essence of the message. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He is on the throne, and there is salvation in no other. Let me say to you, have you never believed? Then tonight you must come. And he promises, I will draw them to myself. Have you believed, but you've wandered away? I thought I would never backslide, and yet we've all done it. He says, come, come, and I will draw you to myself. Oh, tonight, will you with me worship the Lamb upon the throne? Will you live to the glory and the praise of the God who has loved us and given himself to save us? Amen.